He kōna e ipurangi tēnei nā te reo irirangi o Aotearoa.
So I've grown up to the calls of koel, Asian koel, and crows, house crows in India, and then city noises, traffic noises, obviously.
Kartik grew up in Coimbatore, in southern India. And those sounds he remembers from childhood, crow and Asian koel bird calls, the noise of the city, they had an impact on him.
And stray dogs, they bark a lot in India. That's a soundscape we have. And thunder. The sound of thunder and rain, downpour, tropical downpours. I think these are the main sounds that I remember growing up.
Nau mai, haere mai, ki tō tātou au hurihuri. Ko Clare Kincannon tēnei. Welcome back to Our Changing World for 2022. I'm looking forward to taking you all over Aotearoa to tell you the most fascinating science and nature stories that are out there. But to kick off the year, something a little different. We meet Karthik SS, the producer of a podcast based in Otaputi, Dunedin, that's called Tune Into Nature. And we're going to listen to one of the episodes he has created about Titipunamu on the Otago Peninsula.
So the Tune Into Nature podcast is a collection of sounds and stories about nature and wildlife happening around Dunedin and Otago. The aim of the podcast is to tell stories to people and get them to connect with nature and inspire them to connect with nature whenever they are out and about. So it all started with a project called Aotearoa Stories and Sound, which is started by Professor Nancy Longnecker at the Center for Science Communication. So the idea was collecting memorable sounds to New Zealanders all around Aotearoa, but then COVID hit and then we had to go local. So we were continuing to collect sounds, local sounds around Dunedin and Otago and even other parts of New Zealand virtually. But then we thought we could produce a podcast, tell stories of our nature and wildlife and conservation work that's happening. And we approached Otago Access Radio, who were really happy to have the show on board and broadcast it and also podcast the show. And we've got some funding from the Otago Regional Council's Eco Fund, which has actually allowed me to go out and record these stories. So it's a really great collaborative effort. And this also goes out for an international audience on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and other streaming podcast platforms. So it's pretty great to look at analytics and think we have also gone out and we have got listeners from outside New Zealand listening to Aotearoa stories. So that has been a great thing out of this podcast.
So here is an episode of the Tune Into Nature podcast called The Story of Titipunamu Rifleman on Otago Peninsula.
It's around 6:30 in the morning and we are walking through a dense coastal forest. The track is not well defined and we are zigzagging through the trees. I'm with Marcia Dale and Shanta McPherson and we are looking for one of the most elusive, hard to find birds in the country. It's also the smallest bird of Aotearoa, New Zealand, the rifleman.
So Karthik, there's the box over there. Can you see it?
Yeah.
So if you walk in, just keep your eyes closely on it and see if the bird, see if a rifleman slips off it.
This is Shanta teaching me how to approach a rifleman nest. I slowly make my way towards the tree, careful not to make any noise. It's hard with all the leaf litter and little twigs on the ground. Ahead of me, I can see a box, which is in shape of a little house, and it's fixed to the tree trunk. The box has been put out for the rifleman to nest. And right there, I saw a very tiny bird flying out of the box.
Oh, yeah.
So, come off?
Yeah, flew out that way. Right, can you see him? It was so quick, and it was up in the canopy in a flash. And that was my first time actually seeing the rifleman. It looked like a small greenish ball of fluff climbing up and hopping around the trunk. It was unbelievably tiny and I was lucky to get a good look. Shanta walks close to the box, switches his torch on and looks into the entrance of the nest.
Look down the mouth, down the tunnel, and I can see a nest. It's made out of leaf skeletons, dry plant material, and I can see a tunnel heading into the back, and at the back of that I can see some feathers. So the nest is lined, so I'd expect there's some eggs in it. Let's have a look.
And that was the first rifleman nest of the day. So what does the rifleman mean to you?
Well, I think the bird means a lot to me. As a smallest bird, it's a bit of an icon of the New Zealand forest. It's also a bird that likes good quality forest, and so it's a marker species. We often think that the species that show that a ecosystem is in good heart are the big things. You know, they talk about the wolves in Yellowstone and that sort of thing. But also, sometimes the marker of a good habitat is at the small end of the scale. And this tiny bird is present in reasonable quality forest. And I've enjoyed having a lifetime association with them. I think they're a wonderful creature.
Yeah, well, Shanta's just given a really intelligent answer. I like them because they're cute and little. As you might be able to tell, I'm not that big, so I quite like little things. They're just a really delightful bird. The fact that they are New Zealand's smallest bird just really speaks to me.
Marcia and Shanta will be going around the forest checking nest boxes for active nests. And I'll be tagging along with them to hear about how these little nest boxes are helping New Zealand's smallest bird. In the Māori language, the bird is called Titi Punamu or Tititi Punamu. Tititi means a mirage or a vision of, and Punamu means greenstone. The bird weighs around 6 to 7 grams. This is about the weight of 3 or 4 playing cards. It measures from 7 to 9 centimeters. To put it in perspective, the rifleman is half the size of a house sparrow, which is about 18 centimeters and weighs about 40 grams.
They have little or no tail, and so they are a little rounded, stubby bird, very discreet, quick moving, and easily missed. You know, many observers walking through the forest literally wouldn't see them. And their call doesn't help because it's high-pitched and it's beyond the hearing of many people. You need good young ears to be able to hear it clearly.
With all the birds in the background, it could be tricky to hear it. But if you listen carefully, you will notice that high-pitched squeak.
My hearing, for example, as I get older, it declines a bit. So I can hear some of the call range, but not other parts of it, which is a shame, but that's how it is. When you see the bird, you will catch a glimpse of it flitting on the trunks, perhaps a little bit higher up in the canopy, and it's got a distinctive wing flick. It flicks its wings, flick as it moves. They've got a tiny thorn-like bill that curves up slightly, and you'll most commonly see them on the trunk. They come in low and then climb the trunk. They will feed a bit in the canopy here, but they like the trunks, and so this is really, if you look at it, it is just trunks everywhere, and Carnica is very prolific in small insect species, so they like the territory so much.
But there's a catch. The birds like to nest in natural cavities that are found in old trees, anything like little holes where they can build their nest in.
There's a bit of a lack of natural nesting cavities in this kind of forest. It's Kānuka, which is amazing for insects, which the riflemen feed on, but because it's quite a young forest, sort of 30 to 40 years regeneration, it doesn't have the cavities, the holes in the decaying wood that they need to nest in. So really good insect habitat, good food for the riflemen, but just not enough houses, kind of like the rest of New Zealand.
So this is where the nest boxes come in. Instead of natural cavities on the tree, the birds can use the boxes to nest in.
Well, the bird likes a nest. The bird likes a cavity, a concealed cavity, and preferably with a small entrance. And the size of the cavity is roughly the size of two clenched fists. That's a typical nest size. So we build it to meet that need. And then around the front, if you come around the side here, you'll see the entrance hole. It's a 20 millimetre hole. We've got a steel washer around it that gives us the correct size hole. It also stops rodents chewing it out. And that hole is going to be a little bit small for a rat to get through. A mouse could, but notice how we've painted the front of the boxes. So there's not going to be any purchase there for a mouse. So we'd say that they're quite rodent-proof. And in a natural nest, they will replicate that same thing. They'll be looking for a small entrance into an enclosed space that's big enough for their purpose. They love the boxes. And that's part of why this approach is so successful for the riflemen, is we can easily replicate their nesting requirements and boost their numbers that way.
Back on the nest search, we decided to sit and wait near a nest box to see what the birds are up to.
So it's quite common if you sit and watch a nest box that the birds will turn up and have a look at you, but then they lose interest if you sit still. And if you're far enough from the nest and they just drift away, then a few minutes later you'll notice a bird just heading in discreetly up back into the box. Yeah, it's often a 10-minute wait sort of thing.
And after a few minutes, we saw an awesome sight.
Look, two of them. Look, yeah. See that? That's the male on the right. Did you see him? He just fed the female.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
Yeah.
So the male supports the female during egg laying by feeding her. And so that indicates that they haven't completed laying the clutch on the nest. So there'll be, typically they'll lay four eggs. So that indicates there's probably not four eggs there yet, because once the four are there, or whatever they decide is going to be the final number, they will reasonably promptly commence sitting and incubating on them within 24 or 48 hours.
Do they swap cuties at all?
They do. The rifleman father, he's a modern man. He helps out with the nest building. He helps incubate the kids. When the mum's laying eggs, he'll come and feed her as well. It's a very much a shared partnership.
I asked Marcia and Shanta on what hopes do they have for the future of the riflemen.
On the peninsula, they're really just residual populations, just clinging on to the remnants of forest that still exist. And so I suppose my hope for it is that the Otago Peninsula will become more bush-clothed in the future. There are some good farms here, there are some great farms here, but some of the country is quite marginal, and the thought that that might revert to forest and that riflemen might be one of the key species that's found in it is a great thought for the future.
We've got below sort of 10% forest left. We got down to about 5% at one stage of original forest cover. And I would love to see a progression of bushy corridors and the riflemen following that growth. Grassy Point used to be a really hot spot for riflemen. It's the bit that sticks out between Broad Bay and Mac Bay. There doesn't seem to be any riflemen left there, and that used to be a real stronghold. So that's the first step. We want to put out a series of stepping stones of riflemen nest boxes. There's a bit more bush and forest coming up between here and Broad Bay. So if we can, if we can get them close enough that people can really see them really easily and just become more aware of them, that would be amazing, because they're just such cool birds.
40 nests were found in this year's rifleman census. This is more than double the number from last year. And one special nest was found inside a trap that was meant for possums, one of the introduced predators that can eat little eggs or even birds. So with four little eggs inside the box and parent birds waiting around, the volunteers had to work hard to modify the trap to make it safe for the birds. All for the tiny riflemen.
That was a Tune Into Nature podcast episode created by Kartik SS. The story of Titipunamu riflemen on Otago Peninsula is episode 5 in the series. And for it, Kartik spoke with Marcia Dale and Shanta McPherson of the Otago Peninsula Biodiversity Group. You can follow the Tune Into Nature podcast or find it on the Otago Access Radio website. The show has Instagram and Facebook accounts that you can also follow. Thanks so much to Kartik for chatting with me for this week's Our Changing World, for giving me a soundscape clip from his home in India, and for the episode of Tune Into Nature to play. We are delighted to be able to share great local science and environment content such as this. This episode was produced by Karthik SS and me, Claire Kincannon. Sound engineering was by Mark Chesterman. Tim Watkin is executive producer of podcasts and series. I'll be back next week with more stories about the science happening around Aotearoa. To make sure you don't miss an episode in 2022, follow Our Changing World on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeart, or wherever you like to listen to podcasts. Our website is at rnz.co.nz/ourchangingworld, and I'll post some pictures and links related to this episode there. And Our Changing World is also on Facebook and Twitter at RNZ Science. Do come and say hi. Thanks so much for listening. I'm Claire Kincannon. Kia pai, tō wiki.